Well, look, I'm really excited about our new series that we're beginning. It's A Year to Grow. We have a sense that this is our new theme for the year, that God wants us and wants you to grow. Who said that? Yeah, not necessarily physically. But living things grow. It's a principle of life. We were made, we were created, and everything that has life has been designed by God to grow. And as we grow, we thrive and we flourish. And in order for us to thrive and flourish, we actually need to live in this life principle of keep growing. There's a law of atrophy, isn't there? I mean, anybody who does any form of exercise, that if you don't use it, you lose it. But as you use it, it grows, something becomes stronger, and your health increases. And so in our well-being, as we grow as human beings, in all the different dynamics and areas of life, we begin to flourish and thrive and prosper. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about financial prosperity, but in the quality of our life, in the fullness of our life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and all its fullness. And a commitment to growth, a commitment to development, a commitment to personal maturing is essential for us to enter into the fullness and the flourishing that God has for us. So let's look at a verse in the Bible just to show us how increase, growth, development, maturity, expanse in our own lives is a life principle. We'll look at it in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 is a very interesting book in the Bible. Genesis means beginnings, so it's the book of beginnings. And these first few chapters in Genesis are not so much to explain to us how God created the world, but why God created the world, and what are the life-giving principles, or the order, or the wisdom, or the way that God has wired up this world and humanity to function and live by that we may flourish. So Genesis 1 gives us hints and guidance for living for human flourishing. And as we read this first chapter together, just notice how much there is to do with growth. Now, it might not use that word grow or growth. It might use the word like multiply. But just have a look at it. It might use the word like teeming. Let's have a look at it together. God created the great creatures of the sea and everything living with which the waters teemed and that moved about in accordance with their kind. Every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw it was good. God blessed them. Be fruitful. Ooh, I think that has something to do with growth, doesn't it? Increase. Ooh, I think that has something to do with growth. Fill the waters and the seas. Ooh, I think that has something to do with growth. And the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was the fifth day. And then God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Oh, I think that has something to do with growth. Livestock and creatures that move along the ground and wild animals, each according to his kind. And it was so. God made wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, ha-ha, let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds and sky and the livestock and the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And said to them, now listen, let me just pause there. God blessed mankind and said to them, so God blessed them so that they may do what is next. The blessing of God is for a purpose. The blessing of God is to produce something in our lives. The blessing of God is that God comes to us with his blessing and with his power and with his presence so that something good may come out of our lives. So he says to mankind, are there any people belonging to mankind here this morning? Yes, yes. Says to you, says to me. It says to mankind, he blessed mankind, he has blessed you. Note this, if you're mankind, you are blessed. He has blessed you to be fruitful. Has that got anything to do with growth? Yes. To increase. Does that have anything to do with growth? To increase in number, to fill the earth and subdue it. Does that have anything to do with? To fill, to increase, to be fruitful. Over something, it's expansive, over the fish, over the sea, over the birds, in the sky, over every creature that moves along. It's expansive. Do you see how much growth, how much multiplication, how much increase, how much development, how much more there is in that passage of Scripture? And that's the first two, it's the first chapter of the Bible. And in the book of beginnings, there's something we call first principles, which God lays down the first principles or foundations for human purpose, flourishing, and well-being. And as we take note of these things and allow our lives to be built around them and comply with them and draw on their wisdom, we enter into the fullness of God's blessing. So I want to encourage you this morning that God has created you and blessed you to grow you, and that as he grows you and you increase and you fill and you multiply in all the different areas of your human potential, you will come into the increased fullness, the increased experience of God's goodness and purpose and blessing for your life. And the reason why I wanted to start off on that this morning is that everything that God does in our lives, he does in response to our faith. Faith is absolutely essential for us to know the activity of God in our lives. Romans says this, the book in the Bible, it says, we live by faith. And life is from first to last. In other words, we start our Christian lives by faith, believing in God, believing in Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for us. And we finish our lives by faith. And it is faith that brings the blessing of God into our life. And it's the faith that brings the mercy of God into our life. And it's faith that brings the goodness of God into our life. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We receive it freely as a result of our faith. And if you want to grow in your life, if you want to grow and develop and reach your human potential, it starts by faith, believing that God has created you to grow, you can grow, he has blessed you to grow, he will give you the power to grow, and as you grow, the blessing and the goodness of God will increase in your life. And it's so important to believe that, because there are many times in our life, through human experience, through the discouragement of life, through something that is said, through our personal blockages and failure sometimes, that we think, I get stuck. This is it now. This is my lot. I can't develop anymore. I've hit a ceiling. It can happen to young people. It can happen to older people. But there are voices that speak into our lives that will stop us believing that we can grow. And the Bible says, as a man thinks or as a person thinks, so he is. So what you think about yourself and who you become are connected. And before we begin this series, and Matthew and Sarah and Adam and Sean begin to put all the meat on the bones, I want to lay a skeleton and a foundation of faith for this journey of growth that we're going to go on this year. So that you can believe that God has blessed you and that you can grow And you can come into a greater flourishing in life as God has created you for. Now, how does that faith come? How does it come to us, faith? Well, again, the Bible says this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. You see, as we look at what the Word of God says, as we look at how God sees you, how God created you, what God wants for you, how God has blessed you, and what He's blessed you for, it begins to put faith in our hearts that God is for us and not against us, just like we sang this morning. And that God has created us for growth and for blessing and for purpose. And as we see that in the Word of God and allow it to affect our thinking and our hearts, what happens? Faith is formed. And that faith causes us to move into the purposes of God and causes the power of God to transform our lives. So let's really take note of what God is saying to us this morning through His Word. He has created you in His image, and He has blessed you to be fruitful in your life, relationally fruitful, productively in your workplace fruitful, in your talents to be fruitful, in your thinking to be fruitful, in your relationship with God to be fruitful, a fruitful mum and a fruitful dad and a fruitful wife and a fruitful husband and a fruitful friend and a fruitful work colleague and a fruitful student and a... He's made you to bear fruit. So three areas of growth that we see in the Bible. Three areas of things in the Bible that I want to encourage you to... allow to sink into your heart that you may have faith for these areas in your life. The first area we see about fruitfulness in the Bible is to grow in is the area of our character, our personal character. So it says in the scriptures, and we know that in all things God works for our good. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So those of us who've responded to God, those of us who say, you know, Jesus, come into my life. I want to be a follower of You and I want Your purposes to come to pass in my life. It says for those people, He has predestined, He has ordained, He's declared that God is going to take everything that happens in your life, the good, the bad and the ugly, everything that happens, and He's going to use it to conform you to the image of His Son. What does that mean? To shape you and mold you and create you like a potter's holding pottery in its hands on the wheel to shape you into the image of His Son. What does that mean? To make you like Jesus. To make you like Jesus. And the beautiful thing is the way that God has created us is that He's made every one of you as an individual. You all look differently. You've got different shaped eyes or different eye patterns in your eyes. You've got different patterns on your fingerprints. You all look differently. And you all have individual personalities. Your personalities are all unique to you, which is wonderful. The creativity of God, the diversity of God, the genius of God is that the billions of people that have existed, everyone is unique and individual. But He has created you to have something in common as well as your unique individuality. So your personality is unique. But your character is to be conformed to the character of Christ. So what's the character of Christ? Well, we see it in the book of Galatians written in the Bible. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. He wants you to love like Jesus. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. He wants you to have joy like Jesus. Love, joy, peace. He wants you to go through life with a peace and a serenity and a confidence. Why? because God is with you and God is for you. And the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Now, when you get your character shaped around that, when that Christ-like quality is not something that you have to be peaceful, stay calm, but it's in you. You can't help bearing that fruit. Like an apple tree cannot help bearing apple trees, apples, because they are an apple, it's an apple tree. When that fruit comes out of you because it's who you become, because Christ has worked and taken all the circumstances of life and he has molded you into his image, that you are a peaceful person, not because you're choosing to be peaceful, it's because it's your character. You're joyful, you're loving, you're peaceful. It says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's patience. It's kindness. Look at that. Selflessness, loving, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The characters of Christ. So your personality is unique. But there's a conformity amongst us too, to Jesus. So the first thing that God wants us to grow in is our character, to have the temperament and the attitude of Jesus Christ, to follow him and be like him in word and thought and deed. And the interesting thing about Jesus is this: although he was fully God and fully man, and because he was fully God, he was sinless, he never sinned, the Bible teaches that he also had to grow as a human being. It says in this, in the book of, I think it's Luke. Yes, Luke, chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Imagine this, Jesus being fully God, morally perfect, without sin. How could you improve on that? Well, it's not so much a matter of improving, but it's a matter of growing. Jesus grew. He grew as our example. You see, you have a newborn baby, beautiful, perfect human being. Nothing wrong with a newborn baby, but they're designed to grow. And so we're not talking about anything imperfect in Jesus, but he had to grow. And he grew in wisdom. And he grew in favor with God and grew in favor with men. And he grew in stature. And if Jesus had to grow, what about you and me? And we can grow. Let's have a look at another verse about Jesus. Son though he was, that means even though he was the Son of God, perfect and sinless in that respect, morally perfect and morally sinless, it says he learnt obedience. Oh, now that's a thought, isn't it? Jesus had to learn how to obey the Father. Anybody on that journey? Anybody learning how to follow the ways of God? Jesus, even though he was fully God, in his humanity as a human being, had to learn how to trust his Father by faith and follow him in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like you and I do. Son though he was, so you could rephrase it a bit, because you know this is an ancient text and so the language can be a little bit not modernized. Even though he was the Son of God, Jesus still had to learn obedience. How did he learn it? Well, he learned it from what he suffered. Well, what does that mean? Well, he had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane and the cruelty of the cross to fulfill the perfect will of God so that he could die on the cross for our sins, be punished for our wrongdoings, that we could receive the forgiveness from God that we don't deserve, because Jesus took the punishment from God that he didn't deserve, because he was our substitute. And so he, for the purposes of God, lived a selfless life. It was put this way when he was in the garden, kneeling. looking up to heaven, beads of blood pouring from his body. Father, if this cup of suffering can be passed from me, let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In that moment, when he submitted his will selflessly to the will of the Father for his purposes on earth, he learned obedience. We can learn to do that. And look what happened as a result of it. Though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what was suffering, and once he was made perfect. Do you see how it perfected him as a human being? Not as God. You can't add to God's perfection, but he was matured. That's what it means. He was matured as a human being through obedience. He became the source of eternal life for all who obeyed him. Adam and Eve in the garden were supposed to mature. They were made without sin in the beginning. And God said, don't eat that fruit on that particular tree. And if they had obeyed him, they would have learned obedience and be qualified for the more of God. But they didn't, even though that they were sinless. Jesus was sinless, and he went into another garden. And he had to refuse to eat of a tree. This was the tree of self-preservation and the tree of protecting his own life and the tree of having his own way. And he didn't eat of that tree, but he obeyed God. But because he obeyed God, he became a wonderful example for us. And matured as a human being and became the source of eternal life for all who trust in him as a result. Character. That's the first area we can learn to grow in. The other area of growth is this one, competence. Thank you. Is there a slide here? No, there's not. God wants to grow in character, competence. What does that mean? You've been born with skills and talents. Some of you are great artists and musicians and brilliant administrators and poets and writers, and you've got organizational skills, and they're natural talents that you've been born with. But those talents don't reach their potential unless we grow and develop and mature them. So there are skills to develop. There are gifts of God to stir up and grow in. Now, gifts and talents, gifts of God, of the Spirit, and talents are different. Talents are what you're born with. The gifts of the Spirit are what God gives you once you become a Christian. The gift of healing or the gift of prophecy. It can be the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. And there are spiritual gifts that God gives for you to use and to be a blessing to others. And we receive them and we grow in them. And we receive them in their immaturity. And as we, as the Bible says, stir up the gift, fan it into flame, we mature. You just don't end up being able to hear the voice of God. You learn how to hear the voice of God. You just don't one day wake up and you can heal the sick. You learn how God moves. And you grow your faith and you learn how God brings healing into people's lives. You just don't wake up wise. You grow in wisdom. You grow in knowledge. So there's something to grow in. And then there's the area of our given responsibilities. God will apportion every individual, doesn't matter who they are, a degree of responsibility. We might get this from the very beginning. That's why it says, children, obey your parents. Well, it's a responsibility to obey your parents. It might range from helping with the dishes to keeping your bedroom clean. But every child at some point of time has been given an area of responsibility. And as we go through life, our responsibility will increase according to our capacity. Faithfulness and capacity. go hand in hand so that we may grow in greater responsibility. So some of you got talents. We've all got talents. Some of you have gifts. We've all got gifts. And we've all got responsibilities. But the degree in which our responsibilities grow will be the degree of our competency in these areas. So some people have a responsibility to be a spouse. What about growing in your competency as a husband or a wife or a parent? Some people have vocations, doctors and teachers and their professions as well, in the roles within the workplace. We all have areas of responsibility. Grow your competency. God wants you to. What does he want you to do? Book of Genesis, do you remember it? Rule. Take responsibility. Increase your rulership. So there's something to grow in for everyone, isn't there? Something to learn. And you've been blessed to do so. Then the third area of growth is linked to character in a way and responsibility. It's capacity. So you've got character, competency, capacity. See, the degree in which you can grow your responsibility will be the degree in which we have grown our capacity. Let me simply define capacity for us in the context of this talk. The ability to carry load. The ability to carry the weight of responsibility and discharge it faithfully and efficiently. And we grow in capacity. I remember when we first had our first child. Remember this? It was like a bombshell that hit us. You think, we've just got one child. How do people cope with two? I mean, we were like the walking dead, living around like tired all the time, wasn't it? And you think, I thought life was tough, and then I had a child. To be honest, I thought life was hard in college. And then I got into the real world. I thought, well, we got married. Then we had children. I thought, one child. Why do people ever have two? It's just too much work. And then you have two. Why? Well, you can cope with two because you've learned to cope with one. Your capacity's grown. And then you might have three. And some people's capacity just keeps going and going. But the point is we can grow our stamina. We can grow our strength. And the three areas of stamina and strength that God wants us to grow in. Why? So we may rule. Because God's, if you notice, God's, in Genesis chapter 1, the rule is to expand, it's to increase. And so we grow in our mental capacity that we can cope more mentally. Less stress, more peace. Less fear, more faith. More peace, less pressure. We can cope with more. Secondly, emotional capacity. So you've got your mental capacity, but there's your emotional well-being. Now, your emotional well-being depends upon your mental well-being. Let me explain. If I get anxious and I'm worried and all churned up in the inside, that fear and anxiety hasn't just come from nowhere. It's come from the stuff I've been thinking about. If I have an emotion, it starts with my head. What have I been thinking about that is causing me to be emotionally unsettled? If I get angry, supposing I get angry, it's because I am thinking about something. That wasn't right. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? And it's some stuff going, kicking off in my head that is producing an emotional response. So I have to grow in my mental capacity to control my thinking, so that I may grow in my emotional responses, so that I can develop more responsibility without flying off the handle. And not only crashing and burning in my own life, but singeing everybody else around me. Mental capacity, emotional capacity. Then there's this other thing in order for to grow in responsibility. And God wants to grow us all in areas of responsibility. I won't say what responsibilities that is, but there is more. Strength and flexibility. You need to have a strength to carry responsibility so that you can have a consistency. But at the same time, you need to have the strength to be flexible. Because you can't grow and develop unless you're flexible. You can't. If it's rigid, this is our plan, this is the way we do it, there's nothing. And we have the way we do it, and then something new or an opportunity comes in or a challenge comes in, and we don't have the flexibility to respond to it, we can't grow. So we have to have strength where we're stable. And yes, we do stick to plan, but the flexibility to go, oh, actually, we can bring that in and respond at the same time. And usually there's two types of us. Either we're flexible that we never get anything done. So flexible that we never actually stick to a plan and build anything and get anything done. Or we're so rigid that we can't respond to opportunities and we fail to grow. So God, what God wants us to do is to grow in such a way that we are strong and flexible. As somebody once says, change is here and here to stay. And if we want to develop in this world, we've got a fast-changing world, and we have to have the strength to bring a stability. That's a consistency in a changing world, but also the wisdom and the capacity to be flexible in a changing world. And God can do that. And he can do that for you. Capacity grows. How does the capacity grow? It grows through stretching, challenging, perseverance, and faith. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, when you go through various challenges, don't be discouraged, but see it as God's discipline or training in your life. That having been fully trained by these challenges or these disciplines, you may have a harvest of peace and righteousness. Do you see that? There's a growth, there's a harvest, there's an increase. Because the stretching and the challenging and the difficulties have developed your capacity. That all comes down to the way we see challenge. Are you following me? Good, I'm glad you think so, Adam. Fourthly, as we're moving towards the end, know Jesus better. Paul says, I keep asking that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. A religion will dry you out, but a relationship will fill you up. It's a relationship. And as we look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we see that it's all about God being in relationship with mankind. God talks to mankind. He walks with mankind. He guides mankind. He's involved with mankind. He's in partnership with mankind. He's not some remote, distant father, but he's intimately involved doing life with his children that he's created. And in order for that to be flourishing and fruitful, it has to be relational, so we want to know him. Paul says, I want to know Christ. And so growing to know Christ through knowing what he says about himself in his word, through prayer, listening to his voice, knowing and learning to sense his presence. I mean, he's with us always, but there's times when his presence turns up for a purpose and we can sense the presence of God and why he is here. And knowing his power in you and through you. He says, I pray, Paul says, I pray that you will know the incomparable power of God at work in you. This power is the same power that was exerted, oh, I love that word, The Bible is amazing. When you really study the Bible and get into the juice of the words, they're amazing. God exerted. This power is the same power that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Do you know, if you've ever done any exercise or anything, you've got to do a bit of exertion. I was doing some exertion yesterday. God exerted power. And it says this power is the power that he exerted in Christ when he rose him from the dead, and that power is in you. And Paul says, I want you to know it. Know it. Know it breaking your life off from bondages. Know it transforming your hearts and minds. Know it liberating you. Because God is for you, and he's given you his power, and he's exerting it in you, and he wants you to know it, and how it just streams through you and in you for your benefit. And when it says, I want you to know that, of course, the inference is that it's possible as a Christian we may not know it. We may not grown in it. We have not learned to lay hold of that power. We may be a Christian and we may not know him well, but we can grow. And this is why Paul prayed these prayers and the Holy Spirit put them in the Bible, so that we may know the will of God through these prayers, that this is what God wants for us, so that we can grow to know him better. And finally, one of the ways that God brings us into increase and growth is what Jesus said in John chapter 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, whilst every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So here is the way God brings about growth in our lives. There are some things in our lives that have activity but are not producing fruit. So that's like a vine where there is a branch coming out and it's got activity, it's growing, it's active, but it's not actually producing any grapes. So what the gardener will do, he'll cut that off because it doesn't want to draw the energy into a fruitless activity. So the energy then may go into that which bears fruit. So the question number one is this. Is this, we're looking at a year to grow, is to continue to be asking the Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that may be taking resources and energy and time or whatever it is that is not bearing fruit that needs to be cut off? And you need the Holy Spirit to guide you in that and give you wisdom. So the Holy Spirit says, oh, actually, there's this in your life that actually is a lot of activity. And it might not be sin. Some of it might be sin, but it might not be sin. But it might just be taking energy and time and something from it that needs to come because it's not actually bearing fruit in your life that God wants to bring. So, okay, is there anything? And allow him to speak to you and teach you and show you over the course of time and respond. Respond, because it might be a step of faith for you to respond, but if you respond, it will do something. It will channel the energies back into something that will bear fruit, and you will be blessed because of it. And then there's something else. It says, this is really interesting. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So even in the areas of our life that are bearing a lot of fruit, there are times when, not cut off, but cut back, that we may bear more fruit. Not cut off, but cut back. So here is a vine, here, that has been cut back. Doesn't look very fruitful, does it? But what that does, that cutting back, produces this. It's amazing, isn't it? So then this question is there something in my life that is fruitful but needs to be pruned? And what does that look like? And what does that look like? And the Holy Spirit, who is your gardener, will know exactly what those things are for you. So as we close today, I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer. First of all, if you feel comfortable and you'd like to stand with me when I say, and that stand is just making a stand saying, in this year of 2019, Father, I want to commit myself to outwork your blessing and to grow as a human being. I want to grow in character. There's some competencies I want to grow in. And there's some capacity I want to grow in. And will you show me how I'm to grow? And then just give the Father permission. If there's something that needs to be cut off from my life, would you show me what that is and help me by faith to be obedient to you in that? If there's something I want to be pruned, will you show that what it is so that at the end of 2019, and even through the course of it, I'm beginning to see fruitfulness in my life. And I enjoy the blessing of that because you've blessed me to be fruitful. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples, I have ordained you or called you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain. So let's stand together if you want to join me in that prayer with God today. And as I'm praying, I'm going to ask you to just make your own response to God. So may my prayers and my words just be a springboard for you to silently make your own prayers and commitments to the Father. Father, as we stand before you today, we thank you that we are a blessed people. And you have blessed us as human beings to be fruitful. And as we stand at the beginning of 2019, we stand to declare our intent to grow in accordance with the way that you've made us and created us. We pray if there's some areas of character that we need to grow in, and I'm sure there are in all of our lives, that you, Holy Spirit, will show us and go to work with your incomparable great power. And those areas of gifts and talents that you have born, created us with, and given to us since becoming Christians, I pray that you will develop those and help us to hone in on the ones that you really want us to focus on this year. And yes, Lord, we pray for a capacity issue, that we may be able to carry the responsibilities that you've given us, whether they be great or in their infancy, but we may grow in capacity and mature in those areas. And Holy Spirit, we pray now that you will begin that process of cutting off anything in our lives that would hinder our fruitfulness. And if we need to be pruned in a particular area, prune us and give us faith and a trust in you to know that you know what you're doing with our lives and that you will fulfill your purpose for us and you will conform us to this wonderful image of Jesus Christ that we may continue to be like him and live in and under his blessing. And for these things, we give you thanks and ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.